Why, every night, I think, before I go to bed, how can I live up to the standard that is set on the radio by Ryan Goose Nisley as he produces his show? I mean, that is just something for the ages.
Well, yes, I listen to every episode, I record each episode, and I organize them categorically.
Yeah, Goose, as a person who really doesn't matter very much, it's always been curious to me to look at a person like you, who everyone respects and loves, and think,
everybody,
what would it be like to be Goose for a day?
You have arrived on the doorstep of the most listened to, most talked about, most long-awaited program on WVOE. With 152.5 years of broadcasting excellence already under our belt, this is the Duck Duck Goose program of 2006. And now, on a continuing campaign to provide entertainment, information, and a general sense of well-being to the huddled masses yearning to breathe free and listen to a new generation of student radio, here is your host, the man, the legend, the feathered bird himself, Ryan the Goose Nisley.
Actually, this is Timothy Grammer, and I am producing the Duck Duck Goose Show tonight, and we're going to play The Older I Get by Skillet, and as soon as we are done with that, we will turn it over to the Master Goose himself, broadcasting to you live from Orlando, Florida at the NRB Convention. So we're going to go to our song, and then we'll be back with the Duck Duck Goose Show live. You're listening to 97.7 WVOE.
In the storied annals of broadcast history, there have been many firsts. The first radio broadcast, the first comedy act on the air. Tonight, we bring you an equally epic event. The first live radio broadcast featuring a feathered bird on a hotel bed in room 2110 of the Quality Inn Plaza, Orlando, Florida. Up next, the Ducks program.
It is 10 bells after the noontide apex of the shining orb which lights our world. That is, if you are in the central time zone, in the glorious city of Roseville, Minnesota, where normally we come to you every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. I am Ryan Goose Nisley. I am sitting on a hotel bed with a lovely bedspread full of splotchy flowers and purple. Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful it almost makes me tear up as I sit here. I am here by way of the amazing broadcast wizardry of Mr. Brian Gullickson, who is, I might add, the most decorated college broadcaster in the entire Fruited Plain this year. The man is a blender, and he is also a genuinely good human being. We are broadcasting to you live tonight from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. This place is teeming with humanity, and everyone is really intelligent. They have broadcast knowledge and wizardry. They all know more than I do. It's very intimidating. Many of them are gathered in this hotel room right now. But tonight, for the next 2 hours, it's 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, and I might add, it's very sunny. Time... During the day, it's been very sunny. Right now, at 11:11 Eastern Time, 10:11 Central Time, 9:11 Mountain Time, it is not sunny. It is indeed quite dark as ink on a splotchy piece of paper.
I think it's like 7 a.m. in Tokyo.
Tonight on the program, Mr. Mark Senius, who's already been lending his voice to the broadcast in a way that adds mirth and enjoyment to all of you, I'm certain. Mr. Senius will be talking about his experience with the NRB. He's been here about 3 million years in succession and has many memories to share. He also has a very decorated aura of student broadcasters that he's taught this year, receiving awards here in Orlando, Florida, the site of this year's NRB convention. We will be broadcasting here live for the next 2 hours. That's 120 minutes, although slightly abridged, slightly fewer minutes when you consider songs and the fact that we came on the air late. This is an absolute marvel of broadcast technical achievement, as the glorious, thunderous voice said beginning of the program. This is probably an epic moment in the history of broadcasting, and certainly a very pleasant moment in the history of WVOE. It is a good time to be alive, I'll tell you what. One word before we go to a song break. 2 weeks ago, we had a very special show on the Duck Duck Goose program about race at NWC. It's something that a lot of people feel very strongly about, and we got a lot of feedback. And I just want to say that I appreciate nearly all of the feedback we got. It's absolutely wonderful to care about a topic, to listen to it, and to think in a logical and a passionate and a spirited way. But one thing that isn't okay is when you react with threats and intimidation. And so I just like to say that as the discussion goes forth, and that is as everyone goes forward to learn something in this debate, and I know that I certainly have a lot to learn, I just ask that you be very careful to do that in a way that's respectful, courteous, and Christian. You're listening to 97.7 WVOE. We will be back right after this piece of musical glory. It is 20 minutes after 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone of the United States, and probably Canada, too, if you're listening from Canada. God save the Queen. It's great to have you here this evening. I'm sitting on a bed in Orlando, Florida, the Quality Inn Plaza Hotel, which, as Mr. Mark Senior has said this evening,
redefining quality, yes.
Mr. Mark Senius is, of course, the radio professor at Northwestern College in Radio.
There's something sort of homely about pink walls and peach. This is the color of Florida, don't you think?
Oh, I do. I'll tell you. I think that wall it reminds me of salmon. That's true. As a gentleman in the studio audience remarks to us, that peach is indeed the color of Georgia, but I like the salmon in the way that it sort of reminds me of the little fish's struggle to swim up the stream so that he can get there and...
We can turn on the shower if you like.
Mr. Cetus, what a pleasure to have you on. Through your sincerity and your complete focus on seriousness, you've taught me so much in life.
Yeah.
Mr. Senius, we're at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention tonight, as you're aware.
I can confirm that.
How many years in succession have you been here?
This will be year number 6 for me attending the NURB, as what it's sometimes affectionately called. So, yeah.
We're going to discuss the bowels and the not the physical bowels, but the bowels and the inner workings of the NURB, as you've termed it. But at first, I wanted to get your feedback on something that happened last evening. We were able to take a break from our trials and travails here at the conference, which are, of course, upbuilding, but at times just terribly, terribly exhausting. And we were able to watch a film called E.T. And during...
Well, I was amazed you had never seen the film. How could you have not ever seen the film? Montana has theaters and a Blockbuster. How could you not have seen this film? It's like an epic sort of classic mm-hmm. film. How can that be?
Well, in addition to being from Eastern Montana, I'm also a Mennonite. And,
okay. Go with it there.
Excellent. I'm glad you accepted that.
Okay. Touché. X gets the square.
In any case, as we were watching you, or mimicking the creature that...
E.T. phone home! E.T. phone home! Goose, never see movie. See movie, ooh. E.T. phone home! Goose do show from home! E.T. do distance headphone show.
And I think that's all we need of that.
Goose do phone! Goose phone show in.
We're
the end of your civilization, the beginning of mine. Bah!
Tonight, as we reflect on all the incredibly sincere things that have...
Yes. I've taught you all there is you can have with regards to seriousness on this particular program.
Yeah, yeah, you sure have, as is evidenced by your guestship. Indeed. All right. Now tonight, turning to more serious things.
Excuse me, I'm just looking up guestship in the dictionary. I'm trying to print it out.
You've been at the NRB for 6 consecutive years now. Through your time here, I'm imagining that there have to be these events, these places in your memory that just stick out and just have really given you a lot of mirth or have just taught you a lot. Tell us about your favorite memories of the NRB.
Not of any year or just this particular year?
Any year.
What I have to say that... The year that we met Stephen Baldwin in Anaheim from a couple years ago, and he was promoting one of his one of his DVDs with Luis Palau, and so he was just flown in from like Seattle on an epic journey, where he was on little puddle jumpers and just different types of planes. Some with propellers, some with actual jet engines, but just this epic journey. He got in, and it was with a friend of mine, and we waited in line to finally talk to him. And he's kind of got the droopy eyes, and it was right after he'd done the Mole program on ABC. He was one of the characters on the Mole. And so a friend of mine, it was Tim Gale, who was with me at the time, and we walked up to... Yeah, remember Tim Gale? Tim Gale, still at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And so we walked up and we asked Stephen Baldwin, what happened on the Mole? And Stephen Baldwin looks at us and says, "I suck at the Mole, dude." So that was definitely a highlight. I think last year probably a definite highlight would be when you were in an elevator with a certain celebrity. You didn't know that you were in the actual elevator with Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains and Mike Sievers, and that certainly would be a highlight. The fact that you didn't know him, and then as you were stepping out of the elevator, finally realized, hey, wait a minute, and you turn around, you spin on your heels, a step, a swivel, look at your high heels, cut the floorboard, as you turn and look into the elevator and point with your index finger, is that Mike Sievers? As the elevator doors close, you hear the voice of Kirk Cameron, Mike Sievers, could be? And the elevator doors close, and he disappears, and we have not heard from Mike Sievers again. We have not had another sign. You know, it's quite possible he just disappeared and is off the face of the earth from there. From this year, though, the absolute highlight probably would be the movie that I saw this morning, which was an amazing film made by some Christians, down to their last pennies, and living out of a Cadillac Escalade that had been given. This is they turned him into sort of the Spanish Brad Pitt, and he had sort of given up all acting, hadn't worked in 3 years, and was down to his last pennies. And they finally sold a script for $3 million to finance to make this movie. The movie's called Belle. It was entered in the Toronto Film Festival, and it won the People's Choice Award, and it was absolutely a stunning film this morning, and easily the highlight of this particular, because it was so unexpected, and the film extraordinarily moving, easily one of the most moving films I've ever seen. It's what Christian film should be, and because it was excellent, it was redemptive, hopeful, and I'll tell you the opening line of the movie. I won't give anything away, I don't think, because it's one of those films that just sort of reveals itself, and to tell you the story would sort of strip it of its power. And the opening line, sort of opening scene, opens with seagulls and a beach somewhere, not exactly sure where it is. It happens to be New York, but you don't know at that particular time where it is. Some voiceover says, "My grandfather told me that if you really wanted to make God laugh, you would tell him your plans. And so just this whole movie about the sovereignty of God and just the razor-thin place where choices are, and just an absolutely moving film. And at the end of it, Professor Sorensen and I just weeping, sobbing pretty much, and then Professor Tauchi as well, with his eyes, you know, welled up. He's a little tougher guy, so, you know, he just, you know, he's a man's man, so he, you know, he was, you know, just a little sniffle and a little tear off the corner there, but just an extraordinary film. And so we're so motivated, we actually talked to the director, and so we're working on ways to bring the director and the film up to Northwestern. And so and the star of the film, and he's cute, you know, and if just in case you wanted to put its name on the rock with some other, no, I don't know, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's 11 o'clock. It's past my bedtime. What do you want? At the tender moment, I had to break it up. And so, but it's just an extraordinary film, and we can't wait to bring it up because it's really most, I'd say it's easily one of the top five films I've ever seen in my life. And it was, we saw the William Wilberforce movie on Sunday, and this blows it away. Blows away really most movies that I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever sobbed where you're really touched and moved in just a joyous, hopeful, redemptive. It's just a really tremendous film.
Well, that's great. That's definitely something to look forward to. Are there plans to distribute it in theaters?
Well, they're still looking for a distributor, so you can certainly pray for this company. They made the movie, but now they got to figure out how to way to get it out there. And certainly Toronto Film Festival, winning that, it's a very prestigious award. Chariots of Fire has won that award. Princess Bride, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and several other films. There's another one that's, Life is Beautiful, among the films that have won that particular deal. And some of those films, of course, have gone on to be Best Pictures, Life is Beautiful, and Chariots of Fire. Really, their hope is not in winning that award, but it's just a fabulous, it's just really just a great movie.
So. Well, if you're just joining us here, it is 31 minutes after 11 p.m. Eastern Time. That translates into 10:31 Central Daylight Time. We're sitting on a hotel bed in room 2110, I believe. It's been difficult because I haven't been finding my room because I keep thinking it's another room number.
Much to the chagrin of others here.
Indeed. We're in Orlando, Florida, live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention.
Do you think maybe later we could just have a vocabulary off?
I would enjoy that.
Come up with like the strangest words, just pop off the top of our head in sort of a conciliatory way. I don't know.
Indeed. That would be something with great ramifications for my life.
It would be a magnanimous gesture on your part.
Indeed. The absolute tenacity with which your verbiage would be spewing from your mouth would be overwhelming to my bosom.
My my insufficiencies would be so.
I can't beat that. I don't even know what that means. All right. Before you depart, sir, I know that at your advanced age you like to seek shelter in your bed so that recumbency may cure the ills of the day for yourself, your personage. And so I want to just ask you before... Yes.
That's right, you young Lilliputian.
Gulliver's Travel reference?
For 50, Alex.
Holy hibiscus in January. Touché. I want to ask you before you depart.
It's more azaleas in February, don't you think, outside? Have you noticed them? They're growing. They're actually quite nice and lovely. Take a deep breath.
What else can be said after something of that nature? Mr. Senius?
I can one-up your up later. All right, okay, go ahead. Good night.
The most gratifying aspects of your position here, as you're on a tour down to Orlando here that is definitely outside of the ordinary classroom routine that you take up each
show. Sitting on a bed in room 2110 doing a radio show at 11:30 at night isn't among the top things. I don't know what is. Certainly the amount of hardware that was sitting on the table the other night when we accepted the awards, the 8-9 awards that we received the other night from the National Religious Broadcast but just kind of hanging out, you know, walking the streets of Orlando, and or just, you know, just chats in the hallways and stuff. So, you know, maybe leaving Anne-Marie Metcalf just at Cece's, the pizzeria, for no apparent reason. You know, all of those would be absolute highlights. And, you know, and then to have Albert Swanson being here and working at Billy Graham and just people getting jobs. Those are some of the things that, just watching everybody find their vocation, you know, finding God's calling in their life. Those are absolute highlights. I wasn't quite done there, but that's okay. You could just move the microphone wherever you want. But I wasn't quite done, so. All
right. Mr. Mark Senius, a man whose grandeur is inescapable and quite frankly unspeakable, a professor of broadcasting at Northwestern College and Radio. Thank you, sir, for joining us on this festive eve.
It was my pleasure. And can somebody tuck me in?
11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, translating to 10:34 if you're in Minnesota at this fine moment, experiencing temperatures which are probably unspeakably cold compared to what we're experiencing at this very moment. It's 59 degrees here and partly cloudy.
73 today. It was a lovely day outside. It was a beautiful sunny day. Everybody was sitting outside. I was sitting out by the pool and having some lovely chats with people. Is there something in your nose? Are you okay? Just checking.
We're going to go back to a song now, a piece of music which will help us reassess our lives.
Your voice is quivering. You're quivering.
This is 97.7 WVOE and the Duck Duck Goose program. Here is a piece of music.
If there were a physical chain constraining this...
Forty minutes after 11 bells after the noontide apex of the shining orb which lights our world, that is Eastern Time. If you're in Minnesota, in beautiful Roseville, Minnesota, on the campus of Northwestern College and Radio, the verdant campus, which isn't so verdant, probably at this very moment, as it's covered with a thick and yet lovely blanket of snow. I don't mean to make you jealous or covet my position at this point, but in Orlando, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, right now making a bit of broadcast history, broadcasting on WVOE 97.7 live from my hotel bed in room 2110 of the Quality Inn Plaza in Orlando, Florida. Right now, I have the distinct honor to be joined by two gentlemen who were at the helm of one of the grandest things that WVOE has ever borne witness to, the Accidental Show. Matt Pelishek and Carl Stavem. Greetings, gentlemen.
Thanks. It's an honor to be here. This is a lovely bedroom.
It's real nice to be here on the bed with you, Goose.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. In any case, gentlemen, Matt Pelishek, first of all, plays second in Radio Demo. You beat me, you cow, you communist. Mr. Stavem, Mr. Pelishek together plays third for Radio Drama. First of all, tell me, how does it feel to be a national award winner?
Well, really, when I received this award, it was a little bit depressing because you wonder, where can you go when you're already at the top? Place winner in Radio Drama for NRB. There's really nowhere else you can go. We've really reached the top. So now it's just kind of downhill from here. It's kind of depressing, really.
Nicely said, Carl. You know, I mean, it's one thing when we had our show. Sure, everybody's heard of the Accidental Show, and yeah, we had our time in the spotlight, but it's onward and upward, except we're at the peak. You know, it's sort of like we've been climbing the mountain, we've reached the very top, and there's really nowhere to go. We just rest kind of perched here above all else.
I guess it's just a snowball down from here. Just pick up speed and tank, so that's where we're headed.
Matt, I want to ask you two main things. First of all, blankets have been a big part of your trip. And secondly, I'd like you to comment on the state of Carl's complexion today.
Yeah, that's good. Blankets, here's the thing. There's three people sharing our room, and there's only two beds, and certainly we can't share them. I mean, except for, in this case, right now, we've got three of us.
It is the goose, I mean.
Right, so it's all good, people. And, but yeah, in our case, it's a little bit different. The goose wasn't there, and so we needed a few extra blankets. And we proceeded to collect a few of those.
Yeah, so, well, all right, I guess I'll finish out from here. We got a, so we proceeded to collect a few, then two, then three, then, now we're at about 11 blankets or so.
11.
Yeah. 11.
Mr. Stabum, one of the most amazing things I've ever beheld was a photo essay of you imbibing some gum. You stuck about 3 feet of bubble gum in your mouth at one time and actually chewed that, all being taken pictures of, I can only assume, by Mr. Pelishek, your cohort, your brother in arms, as it were. Tell us a little bit about that, Carl.
You know, I love to, Goose, but when it comes down to it, no one really cares about the 11 blankets that we collected or the yard of bubble gum that I crammed in my mouth.
I mean, that's all right. You know, Goose, on a serious note, people think that our show is real funny, but we'd like to take a moment to talk to our hearts here on the Accidental Show.
Something that affects countless Americans and people all around the world daily, if not yearly. It's just, it's becoming an epidemic, and we really wanted to get it off our hearts. Who cares about bubblegum when there's a topic that's this huge?
A lot of people are perishing these days. And it's not a laughing matter. We'd like to discuss one of the deadliest things on the face of the earth, Goose. We'd like to discuss with you spikes.
Many people may not know this, but spikes can range anywhere from 1.5 inches to 6.5 feet. And they get more deadly every year. I think the statistic recently is that every 30 seconds... another 2 people are impaled by a spike.
No reason to be laughing. A friend of mine once claimed that he saw a spike that was like 25 feet long. I don't believe him. I can't verify it for myself. But I mean, the truth is, this is the reality that we're living in. And I think we just don't... we just don't take spikes seriously enough in this day, in this culture.
So we just wanted to make everyone aware of the imposing threat that spikes are. And at this point, we'd just like to open it up to any questions.
Matt Pelishek and Carl Stavem, formerly of the Accidental Show, currently of joining us here on WV97.7 award winners, each one. Yes, Carl?
Questions. We're opening up for... Yeah.
Where do these spikes originate from? Do they come from a specific area of the globe?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because they're actually not indigenous to any particular spot on the world. They're produced in factories, many of them. Some are even produced at home. There's actually home makeshift operations being created in basements everywhere.
And I'd just like to say to our local law enforcement, they're doing a great job, you know, but they need everybody's help. They're doing a great job. There's a lot of good technology out there, but we are short on money. I mean, there's only a cap. The police can only do so much. And spikes being as rampant and spreading as they are, I think a lot of extra focus should be taken, a lot of extra prayer.
I do have one question before we go to music. We talk a lot about worldwide pandemics, things which really affect the core of our human security and safety, the AIDS virus, for instance. Tell me, compare for me, just briefly, summarize, the threat posed by HIV/AIDS as compared to the threat posed by spikes.
And that's, and I'm glad you asked, Goose. It's very serious topic. All of these are, and we could go on for a long time, I'm sure, about all of them. The problem is, spikes could appear with little or no warning whatsoever. I mean, there's no way to guard yourself against it, and there's very little education on it. Now, we've improved this with HIV and AIDS. You know, we've gained some education there in schools and such, but not spikes.
As it turns out, because of this poor education, many people just innocent bystanders, tourists planning to feed the spikes, something similar. Because of improper training, they'll find themselves in a poor position where they really pose threats, say, in between a wall and the spike, you know, and with a little more education and a little more background, these people would learn how to avoid these potential threats of the spikes a lot better.
Spikes, the true story tonight on the Duck Duck Goose program, live from Orlando, Florida. 13 minutes in front.
You know, that's a good question, Goose. Another one that's been taken over recently is poison. Poison will straight up kill you. And there's no way around that, really. It's a two threat, really, on our countdown of the world's most deadliest things.
Any number of living things can and will be affected by poison. This could stand for animals. This could stand for people. Inanimate objects, possibly. If it's a potent poison, it can be very corrosive. All this is to say, number two on our list, right after spikes, is poison. I mean, it's really no less serious.
This has been educational beyond my wildest dreams. I want to give you both an opportunity to say one last brief summarizing piece of information or passionate opinion. Carl.
So I guess in summary of NRB, it's missiles will straight up blow you up. There's no way around it. They've got heat-seeking ones that will find you from countries away. So that's why they've earned the number one spot on our list of the world's most deadliest things.
Honorable mention, of course, would also go to swords, throwing stars, also broken furniture.
We considered arrows, but they're a little outdated. So to summarize, spikes, poison, missiles.
Where do Gila monsters rank in this category?
Gila monsters, for the most part, tend to be more docile. What you really want to look out for is pandas. They look innocent enough.
They will tear you to shreds. I swear. I absolutely swear. Those little suckers are not to be reckoned with. I mean, a spike is one thing. Maybe you can get out of the trained. Pandair? Just, there's no mercy in those hollow, soulless eyes.
10 minutes separating us now from the turning of Tuesday to Wednesday. And Carl has one last thing to say.
So, the gum was fun to eat all of that. I mean, that was a yard in my mouth at one time that was just drooling. Yeah.
This is the Duck Duck Goose program on 97.7 WVOE, live from Orlando. That was Matt Pelichek and Carl Stavem discussing things which may kill you. This is a song which hopefully won't.
This is the story of two men who talk.
It is midnight in Eastern Daylight Time in beautiful Orlando, Florida, courtesy of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We are coming to you live on 97.7 WVOE, or more commonly reached at WVOE.fm on the World Wide Web. That grand thing which brings us many miracles, including live broadcasting from a hotel bed in room 2110 at the Quality Inn Plaza on International Drive in Orlando, Florida. Coming to you this evening on the Duck Duck Goose program, I am Ryan Goose Nisley, and it's not daylight time, says my production guru, the man, the legend, the greatest collegiate Christian broadcaster alive today, Brian Gullickson. Brian, as he thunderously roams across the airwaves, has set this entire broadcast up with the sweat of his brow and with the tenacity of his fingers and knowledge of the web. Do you want to say anything, Brian? Corn dogs. This year, I have been privileged to witness my comrade, Mr. Kyle Foster of Dixon, Illinois, winning the Al Sanders Essay. Kyle Foster now joins me. Kyle, you won the Al Sanders. It's sponsored by Focus Degree Completion. Focus on the Family. It's essentially the same thing, as we all know. Dr. Dobson, a big supporter of both causes. No, excuse me, though. It's Al Sanders sponsored. I believe that's correct. This award, it rewards academic excellence. Tell us a bit.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Kyle, speak to us a little bit about what this means to you, a kid from Dixon, Illinois, getting to go to Orlando and experience sunshine and warm temperatures in February.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, Kyle. Let's be honest now. Just lay it on the line. Bare your heart to me, sir. What's better, this award, this Al Sanders Award, a recognition of your achievement, your tenacity, your writing skill, your grandeur? What's better, this award or your impending engagement and marriage?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Kyle Foster joining us live.
Yes, that's correct.
You're listening to 97.7 WVOE or online at WVOE.fm. If you're in Roseville, Minnesota, it is 11:02 a.m. excuse me, p.m. at this very moment. In Florida, on this hotel bed, I assure you, it is 12:02 a.m. I'm Ryan the Goose Nisley. This is the Duck Duck Goose program in Omnia Paratus. The song follows my verbiage at this very moment. Voila. Six minutes after 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am broadcasting live to you with the power of a toaster on speed this evening as Brian Gullickson, Andrew Morger, and Timothy Grammer, I wish I knew his middle name, this would be a perfect place for which to use it, but in any case, we broadcast to you live with the help of those producers tonight on the Duck Duck Goose program. I am Ryan Nisley. You're listening to WVOE by way of our glorious but small FM signal on 97.7 FM. More likely, WVOE.fm, that beacon of hope and humanity, which lights many in musicality and radio. Tonight, we talk about Amazing Grace, the movie that we've seen here at NRB this weekend. We all had an opportunity to see it. I believe every person in our retinue went and viewed the film. Amazing Grace, what a classic hymn. It has inspired so many throughout the years, even quite early on. The man who penned its words did so from the anguish of having once made a living off of a shipping slaves across the ocean. His regrets stirred William Wilberforce into an enduring battle against the slave trade. Now his story has been made into a film entitled Amazing Grace because it says, and I'm quoting now, that the greatest and most successful reformer in all history is almost unknown today, is a crying shame. That's where the quote ends. The film recently previewed at NRB Sunday night and made an impact on the audience.
They compressed probably 10 or 20 years of history down into 2 hours and did just an amazing job of storytelling.
He was willing to wait those 15 years and continue and constantly push and push and push until he saw the change. And that really impacted me because it's like sometimes things happen immediately, but you have to be willing, and you still have to maintain your dream and push and work hard to see that vision come to pass.
And I think it tells a wonderful story of a man's perseverance to take an injustice and make it into a justice.
He was an ordinary man doing extraordinary things, which reminds the rest of us that we can be the same way. You know, we're all just normal people, but we can do extraordinary things as led by the Lord.
The whole thing was more than I expected. It was great.
Many thanks to Marie Metcalf for going about and gathering the audio used there on that story. After the showing, 15-year-old modern-day abolitionist Zach Hunter spoke to the assembly about the current slave trades going on throughout the world. He's collecting money through his organization, which is called Loose Change to Loosen Chains, Students Freeing Modern-Day Slaves. To learn more, you can go to theamazingchange.com or to the film's website, amazinggracemovie.com. That is amazinggracemovie.com. Amazing Grace comes out this Friday, February 23rd, in theaters everywhere. 10 minutes after 12 a.m. now Eastern Standard Time. If you're in Minnesota, it is 10 minutes after 11 bells after the noontide apex of the shining orb which lights our world. It's an interesting fact of time, but right now it's Wednesday as I'm talking to you, and as you're listening, it's Tuesday. Hola. I'm sitting on the bed right now. That's a fun thing to say. With Mr. Brian Golden. This NRB was presented, I spoiled your entrance, I'm sorry, with first place for radio commercial at the INRB Awards, which is the intercollegiate branch of the National Religious Broadcasters. They honor some of the top college broadcasters in the nation. And Mr. Gullickson won not only first place for commercial, he won the award for the best overall audio production in the entire country. Mr. Gullickson, my question to you, sir, tell us about the production you made.
The production I made actually originated in Mr. Senius's radio production class this past summer. I took the class during the summer, so I would have a lighter load this semester, and it worked out quite well. It was for the Focus Degree Completion Program, not Focus on the Family, but James Dobson would be proud of you. Focus Degree Completion Program, obviously, for adults and those working and not able to attend normal day school, but would wish to finish their degree. This production was trying to get them to consider Northwestern College.
Brian, this award basically means, in my estimation, that you are at this very moment, 10 minutes after 12 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, the most decorated collegiate Christian broadcaster in the land. Tell me, how does that feel?
Kind of tingly. Seriously, though, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling how God has led me to this place at this time and just blessed me with winning this award. It's just been an amazing ride, and I just do my best. I don't know what else to say, really. And there were TV winners that won an overall TV award too, so I'm just on the radio side, and I'm just doing my best.
Brian, you described a tingly feeling that accompanies your position. Tell me, first of all, I'm worried that you're not having a heart attack, are you?
No.
Thank God for that. But secondly, as he dies, would you describe this tingly feeling, this award, which exemplifies the hard work and the dedication that you've put into your work, just in a short time? You haven't even been at school more than, what, a year and a half?
I've only been at Northwestern for 4 semesters now, if I count the summer one in which I took this class. But I have been in the real world before that for 5 years, and then 2.5 years at a previous school. So I've actually put in my time, and I'm a senior this year. So it's working out pretty well, and I'm having a blast. I wasn't sure at the beginning if radio production or radio was what I wanted to do, but God is showing me every day in my enjoyment of the subject and on the blessings he bestows upon me that this is what I'm meant to do in life.
All right. The tingly feeling, the award. Better or worse than marriage?
Does not even compare.
And I would like to add, Brian's
wife. I'm not just saying that because my wife is here.
Sitting on the opposing bed. All right. She's not opposing, but that was merely as a reference to the physical state of the bed as it is currently constituted in this room. 2110 of the Plaza Hotel, Orlando, Florida. A lovely place indeed. All right, 15 minutes after 12 a.m. Central, excuse me, Eastern time right now. That's 11:15 Central time. This is 97.7 WVOE in the Duck Duck Goose program. I'm Ryan Nisley. That was Brian Gullickson. And coming up next, a discussion of some of the celebrities I have had the opportunity to meet, how I interviewed Johnny Erickson Tata and then forgot to turn the recorder on as I interviewed her. Another triumph of a radio. Indeed. 15 minutes after 12 o'clock, this is the Duck Duck Goose program. Here's a song. With the power of a toaster, broadcasting just about as far as we can physically hurl you, this is 97.7 WVOE. I'm Ryan Nisley. Most call me Goose. If you're my mother, you call me Ryan, and I say hello to you. And it's 10:19 p.m. in Mountain Standard Time in Montana. And that's a great place to be. Montana is a beautiful place. I am currently in Orlando, Florida, sitting on a bed in the Quality Inn Plaza, room 2110, if you want to come visit us. If you're in Montana, what, it's only maybe a 20-hour drive? I mean, it's just a quick, it's just a quick little jaunt down here. But in any case, we're broadcasting live on the Duck Duck Goose program tonight from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, a bevy of glory and glee attended by all of the preeminent faces. And oh, geez, there's people here from Missouri and from Texas and Arkansas and Maine and Singapore. Why not? It's conglomeration of all of the important people in Christian broadcasting all over the world. They come here, they can attend an exposition where all new technologies are just before them on tables. They can buy programming if they're a TV network. They can buy satellite links if they're radio stations. It's absolutely unbelievable the things that you can do here. I am here because I'm part of the INRB, which is the Intercollegiate National Religious Broadcasters, and I won an award, and I'm here with a bunch of my compatriots from Northwestern College who also won awards either for radio or for essays that were just absolutely fantastic. And we're having a grand time here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the interesting and intriguing things which have happened, specifically some of the people I've had the opportunity to meet. Conglomeration of all of the important people in Christian broadcasting all over the world. They come here, they can attend an exposition where all new technologies are just before them on tables. They can buy programming if they're a TV network. They can buy satellite links if they're radio stations. It's absolutely unbelievable the things that you can do here. I am here because I'm part of the INRB, which is the Intercollegiate National Religious Broadcasters, and I won an award, and I'm here with a bunch of my compatriots from Northwestern College who also won awards either for radio or for essays that were just absolutely fantastic. And we're having a grand time here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the interesting and intriguing things which have happened, specifically some of the people I've had the opportunity to meet. Two nights ago, I believe it was, maybe even three by now, time is still a flying here in Orlando, but in any case, it was a radio reception, sort of just meet and greet and to welcome all of the people involved in radio here to the convention, just to get them acclimated to the surroundings here. What a magnificent convention center this place is in. It's actually in two buildings, and they are just quite impressive. They're very large buildings. I noted to one of my colleagues that you could fit the entire population of my state, Montana, in one of the ballrooms. I cleave to that statement. I believe it to be absolutely true. In any case, inside this reception, one of the keynote speakers, she was receiving an award, actually, for 25 years of broadcast excellence, was Johnny Erickson Tata, who had just an amazing testimony. She was crippled and made a paraplegic by diving into a lake, I believe it was, when she was just a teenager, and she hit rocks of some kind and just had an absolutely tragic event in her life. But she has recovered from that. She's an amazing artist. She actually paints pictures with a brush placed between her teeth. It's just an amazing story, and just the things that God can do in circumstances that we as humans would consider just absolutely abominable, the adversity she's overcome. But all that to say, this could have been a most inspiring moment. I had a flash recorder, which is one of the amazing devices we use to record audio here and WVOE, but I had this extraordinary machine. Unfortunately, I didn't turn it on. I went up to Mrs. and actually asked her after the speech giving was over and her award had been presented. It was suggested by Mr. Brian Gullickson, who along with Mr. Andrew Morgan and Mr. Tim Grammer are producing this fine program for you this evening. And he suggested that I go, hey, well, Goose, go up there and you can interview Johnny Erickson Todd. And I was like, I'm scared, but I went. I overcame my fears and I went up to Mrs. Todd and I asked her if she could shed some light for us young college broadcasters and anybody that might be listening to WVOE, how after 25 years, if there was anything she could say to give us some encouragement in our walk through life and our attempt to become greater broadcasters and things of that nature. And she just proceeded to, for 2 or 3 minutes, I believe, just give these amazing quotes and just great advice. She even said something about the power of a toaster, which would have just sounded absolutely amazing. WVOE's airwaves. So I, of course, with my smug smile, like, aha, I've accomplished something, go back to my friends, and I'm like, yes, I just interviewed Johnny Erickson Tata, only to look inside the bag and realize that I had forgotten to turn the power on the flash recorder, making my interview a rather moot point. But in any case, it was a good experience. I got to meet a great lady, Johnny Erickson Tata. She's really neat. So that was my first celebrity encounter here at NRB 2007. My second came just last afternoon, I believe it was, when I was walking along the glorious vista of the second floor of the Orange County Convention Center, it's called. And I was walking, and I spied a gentleman coming towards me. And, he looked familiar, but I couldn't place where the devil is from or what the devil I'd seen him on or anything like that. But that's the case with most of the people here, because usually the people you see, their radio voices either sound familiar or their faces look familiar. You've seen them before on TV. This gentleman definitely looked familiar, but in any case, I didn't want to bother him. I just kept walking. But apparently he looked at my badge as I went by, and I heard him say as he was passing, sort of in a pensive way, mulling something that he'd seen on my badge, like, Northwestern College. Northwestern College. So I stopped and I turned around, and there he was. He was turned around, stopped as well, sort of a pensive look affixed to his face, and I just continued to say, boy, he sure looks familiar. But I was like, do you recognize Northwestern College? And he's like, I think my dad was the president of Northwestern College. No, he didn't say I think. He said, my dad was the president of Northwestern College. He knew this for a certainty. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Who on earth is your father that would be president of Northwestern College? It's a really small world. And I asked him who his father was, he says, oh, Billy Graham. And I was a Coley Hibiscus in January. It was Franklin Graham. And so I spoke to him for the next 3 or 4 moments. And just a fantastic guy. He was very impressed that my name was Goose. Although he said, what kind of mother names her child Goose? And I was like, well, that's not my real name, sir. I put Mother Goose. Brian Gold. But no, I'm sorry, Mom. But, he was just an amazing man, a real gentleman, very nice to talk to, very down to earth. Just an unbelievable opportunity here at NRB to rub shoulders with some of the people that you've heard about your whole life. So, we are going to continue here for about the next 34 minutes on the Duck Duck Goose program tonight, live from Orlando, Florida, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I'm Ryan Nisley, most call me Goose. This is the Duck Duck Goose program, and here is a piece of music to soothe your soul.
Till the last drop, water flows under the bridge.
You have reached the bottom of the hour with the number one newscast on WVOE, on campus, nay, on this terrestrial ball, with correspondence from the athletic and music programs, as well as reports from the Northwestern Student Association and various slices of campus life. This is the Goose Report. And now, on a continuing enterprise to provide entertainment, information, and a general sense of well-being, your anchor, Ryan Goose Nisley.
It is 31 minutes. 31 minutes now after 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are in Central Daylight Time, 31 minutes after 11 p.m. right now on Tuesday, the 20th day of February, this is the Goose Report. I am Ryan Nisley. Many call me Goose. Today, a huge blow to the United States war effort in Iraq. The British are set to announce, according to reports by the New York Times, Prime Minister Tony Blair is planning to announce on Wednesday, which is today in Florida, that up to 1,500 of the 7,000 British troops in southern Iraq will begin withdrawing in coming weeks. The British news media has reported that, quoting unidentified sources, an official spokesman for the Prime Minister declined to confirm widespread reports in newspapers and from the BBC about a withdrawal, saying that Parliament should be informed first of any such move. But in Washington, for the National Security Council, Gordon Jandroe said that while the United Kingdom is maintaining a robust force in southern Iraq, we're pleased that conditions in Basra have improved sufficiently that they are able to transition more control to the Iraqis. Mr. Jandroe added that President Bush and Mr. Blair had spoken to each other on Tuesday and that Mr. Bush sees this as a sign of success in what is possible for us once we help the Iraqis deal with the sectarian violence in Baghdad. Britain has insisted for several months that it will reduce its troop levels in Iraqi security forces can take over from them, which is a marked contrast to America's decision to increase military personnel in and around Baghdad with a buildup of more than 20,000 troops. Britain has long been America's most prominent ally in Iraq, with most of its forces deployed in and around the city of Basra. But with British troops engaged in Afghanistan as well, senior military commanders here have complained that their use of forces are overstretched and might well be exacerbating tensions by their very presence in Iraq. The announcement could have political significance, too. Mr. Blair is readying himself to redeem a promise to step down this year. Political analysts that he wants to set a timetable to extricate British troops from a war that has proven deeply unpopular among Britons, overshadowing his legacy after almost 10 years in office. British newspapers said he would announce Wednesday that a total of 3,000 soldiers would return home by the end of the year. So, a big, big piece of news out of Britain tonight, out of London. The American administration and Mr. Bush and his compatriots appear to be positioning that it is, in fact, a good thing, that it means that Britain has finally achieved what it has always been hoping for, in which the United States, that the Iraqi police and armed forces are finally ready to simply take their responsibilities. But what many see it as is a very, very large hit to President Bush's policies in Iraq. And as you know, those of you who listen to this show, I am a big supporter of President Bush and his decisions in the run-up to the war in Iraq, but this is most certainly not a good moment for President Bush. All right, and on that incredibly somber note, we're going to bring it back here to Orlando, where I sit on my hotel bed in room 2110 of the Quality Inn Plaza here in Orlando, Florida, on International Drive, balmy International Drive. I'm joined now by Miss Anne Marie Metcalf. Ahoy.
Ahoy, ahoy. Speaking of not knowing about the news, actually, as we just found out about what was happening with Britain a little bit ago, probably earlier today, actually, I had no idea that besides NRB going on, there was a MegaCon conference, among other conferences, happening in the very same convention center that NRB was. And if you don't know, I am one of the leaders of the Anime Club, along with Rick Tobos and John Glover. And there were people walking around everywhere we went the first couple days in costumes resembling those of animes, which Japanese cartoons, and like Marvel comics and things. And I was so tempted to go over there. Most people were like crazed by it. What did you think of seeing everyone in those costumes?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had the opportunity to see Wonder Woman, and I also saw, I think, what looked like the Wicked Witch of the West. And I wasn't sure, maybe you could shed some light on this for me, how the Wicked Witch of the West and Wonder Woman sort of collide in this spectrum of light, this ray of hope for humanity that is MegaCon.
Well, I did see a lot of characters that were kind of out of place, but that usually happens. People just want an excuse to wear whatever they want. I don't know, old costumes. Something. But there are a lot of things for movies. So, like, I think Senia saw somebody dressed up as Ent, which is not really animation at all, but somebody just wanted to wear that outfit. But there are other characters like Hulk and the original Lois Lane and stuff. Actors would be there and stuff. And people can enter a contest called a cosplay contest. And they're actually judged on it, and, you know, they have to make it themselves and get out and look just like the character, and they could win awards for it. So some people really get into it. There's actually a cosplay contest coming up in March. There's an anime conference in Minnesota in the later March, and it's called Anime Detours. So the anime club is going to go for that. So maybe we'll see such crazy costumes on Northwestern campus before we leave.
We can only hope. All right. It is 23 minutes in front of 1 a.m. here on the east coast of our glorious United States. I am Ryan Nisley. If you're just joining us on the Duck Goose program, that is too bad, because we're just about to sign off and say farewell for an evening. And what an evening it has been here on top of the hotel bed at the Quality Inn Plaza in Orlando, Florida, on International Drive. It is absolutely beautiful down here. We have been here for the past few days, since last Thursday, in fact, because of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, an opportunity for all of the important people and for all of the regular people, in fact, in the Christian broadcasting industry to get together just to discuss the state of broadcasting and to have a little powwow on the subject. We have been here just at the glorious behest of the Intercollegiate National Religious Broadcasters, and also on behalf of Northwestern College. I'm here with a bunch of my compatriots from the school that won awards here at the INRB. We've been having a great time. Thank the school for the opportunity to be here. Thank you very much for listening to this special edition of the Duck Duck Goose program on WVOE. Once again, I want to say a tremendous, if you will, thank you to Mr. Brian Gullickson, who set this all up on this end down here from Orlando, to Mr. Tim Grammer for running the board and playing the clips we need played back in Roseville, Minnesota, and also for Mr. Andrew Morger, a brainy fellow who helped Brian and Tim set this all up tonight. Thank you so much. And so tonight, where the temperature is 79 degrees, that is a lie, but in any case, it's what it says. I just read the material. I'm just an anchor. That's all I am. In any case, from Orlando, Florida tonight.
56 Goose. You're reading the wrong line.
Wow. In any case, from Orlando, 56 degrees of balmy Fahrenheit. This has been the Duck Duck Goose program on WVOE 97.7. Until next, we meet Tuesday next at 10 p.m., 10 bells after the noontide, apex of the shining orb which lights our world. May the Lord richly bless you, my friend, and may he multiply your descendants like the sands upon the seashore. Good night.